Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, with Carl Linda Bott. Good morning. We're back. Hey, it's the 12th of September and 7:05 in the morning. And gosh, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. It's good to be back. And today, mostly sunny with a high of 93. It's currently 74 degrees in the downtown studios. Tonight, mostly clear with overnight lows of 63. Tuesday, sunny with a high of 86. Tuesday night, mostly clear with overnight lows of 59. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 81. Wednesday night, mostly clear. Overnight lows at 59. Thursday, sunny with a high of 85. And Friday, mostly sunny with 85. We are loving those temperatures. When considering last week, we were in the triple digits socked in. But this week, there are really no, you know, what they call warnings at all. So it looks like we've got a pretty good general, you know, 80s, some high 80s with today like being 93. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson. These are our good friends that support our stations here at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. They are locally owned, gas and propane needs where senior and veteran discounts are always welcome. 365-3793. Well, welcome to our Monday morning here on the 12th edition. Yesterday, 9/11, we did drive in to see Julie Tomino and the gals and the guys and guys that she put together on the route where if you were driving on north or south on 5 south of the Cypress area, she was on her horseback with so many others flying the American flag. And we love her story, and we've had her on several times in the morning to interview that when 9/11 occurred, she didn't, you know, like many of us, she felt this, what do I do? What can I do? So she grabbed her horse and her trailer. Or opposite the trailer, put the horse in the trailer, and headed out into this area, Churn Creek Bottom there, and rode up and down this patch of, you know, this land.
It's long Churn Creek Bottom.
Yeah.
And she's been doing this for 21 years.
Yes.
And there's a number of other ladies and kids and everybody out there with flags. Thousands of cars going by honking their horn, and it was just beautiful. And,
yes.
You know, and Julie, is a great, great supporter of the military and our community. And if you've not seen it before, next September 11th, a year from yesterday,
mm-hmm.
you can go out there and then you can watch Linda ride up and down the,
Well, the thing is that I was thinking about this yesterday and it was very profound, the feeling of, okay, oh, my gosh, it's September 11th. You know, you wake up and you look at your calendar and realize, oh, my gosh, it's September 11th. What are we doing today to remember? Oh, that's right. We can go there and see Julie and support Julie or even drive by and honk our horn because that's doing something. We always fly our flag. Our flag is up stationary thanks to the flag store, Mike Cooper and Ted Lighty for putting the flag pole as well as the American flag and the Marine Corps flag for your Christmas present last year. So we have the big pole in front of the house, and that's wonderful. So anyway, let's talk about what we're doing now.
We got Kimberly here.
Hi, Kimberly.
Kimberly Vollmers. Good morning. Good morning. Is she on and turned up?
We got to get you on there. Hey, so you are
running for city council.
You put your hat in the ring.
So talk to us about you ran for supervisor, and you kind of, toward the end of it, you backed out.
Yeah, well, financing is not, all things are not equal
right.
when it comes to who's financing your campaign uh-huh. and if you can raise enough funding for your campaign. So when I recognized that it wasn't enough, because one of the key things is name recognition and people knowing who is running and just kind of recognizing your name when they go to vote. So knowing that that was an issue, I wanted to give the people who were running that did have enough financing a fair shot.
Well, the running for city council has gotten more expensive, too.
Yeah, I think locally our politics are inflated.
Right.
If there's an easy way to say it, I think it would be that, because there's so much concern over who are taking those positions. The competition makes it be to where the front runners have to raise quite a bit of money compared to what local politics mm-hmm. would typically
so
require.
We can talk about all the outside stuff, but let's get right into who you are. Let's talk about Kimberly Vollmers and what, tell us a little bit about yourself. We have some time here, and let's talk about why you decided to run, because it's a big deal, not only for you, but your family and your friends, the impact and the heavy, impact it has just on your everyday life. Let's talk about you. Tell us about yourself.
Well, this morning I got stuck behind the train. No, I was raised in Reading, and I love living here. And a part of my wanting to be participating civically has to do with, I feel like when I was growing up and then the things that I observed that I care about of this area. And it's not something that I understood when I was younger, that the impact that you make if you are civically involved, even as a voter, for the things that we enjoy every day here and the things that we get to preserve here. So as I grew up and recognized that that's what politics is, that's what we're taking care of when we're participating, and the people who regulate policy and create ordinances and just protecting the things that we love about our area. So in different jobs that I had is where I learned, I would say, to have a thick skin.
And what were those jobs?
So one of my jobs right out of high school was in pharmacy. I was a pharmacy technician, and that came because I care very much about people, and I care very much about things like insurance and people being able to take care of themselves. And at the time, I felt like that's a great way for me to begin. And so I worked in pharmacy for years, and there were things in that profession that I never would have guessed that matters so much more than necessarily the medication, which is when a person comes to get their prescription, and if they don't know that it's not covered, there's paperwork that goes into that, and there's lobbying in the legislature mm-hmm. that goes into that. And so that's when my eyes really were open to how much government regulates the small and the big of your life. Because when a man is standing at the counter to get a prescription for his wife who's had a lung transplant, and the person that I work with just stands there and tells him, this is not covered by your insurance. I was the person who would do all the paperwork before he came to the counter to try and get it covered, because it made no sense to me that that would be a block for a person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never been untethered, my care for people and my awareness of how the government touches our lives every day. So different jobs that I had. After that, I moved to Los Angeles for a while because I decided that all of that was very heavy for a 22-year-old.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this is something I'll do when I'm older, because every day is kind
heavy.
Of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, health, it's interesting because you don't go to your pharmacist to say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Except for my pharmacist is really cool. So every now and then I'll just stop by. I happen to be, but I just want to say hi. Thank you for everything. But go on.
Yeah, that's true. And so usually you're sick. So
right.
You're suffering in some way, or you have some ailment that you need help with. And so I went to cosmetology school, and I had this vision that I could create a business to where I still could care for people and things that matter to them and make them feel great, but it wouldn't necessarily be that they're sick. So I did go to cosmetology school here in Reading, and about a year after that, I moved to Los Angeles to pursue working with celebrities and doing red carpet events, which is what I did end up doing while I lived in Los Angeles for a while.
That must have been a whole interesting book in itself.
Yes, very different. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I got an advantage, and I was able to be successful in that just because I'm genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So in that industry, a lot of people have very selfish agendas, and they only think of how they can advance, and they weren't really in it for the aspect of caring for people, even though their job maybe was a service industry related job. And so people really understood that, and I would be invited, you know, to people's homes and people's birthdays and different things, to where they quickly make you part of their life that they're doing when they don't have to.
Right.
And those types of things really matter to me. So,
well, let's take a break on that, Kimberly, and we'll be right back with more about who you are, and we're going to go into why you decided at this stage in your life to really throw your hat in the ring. So we'll move on from where you were in cosmetology and pharmacy. And stay with us after these breaks here on KCNR. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alaska Airlines.
You can fly daily, nonstop, from Reading to Seattle with Alaska Airlines. With one stop, get anywhere in the world. Enjoy a cool weekend in the Pacific Northwest or fly to Seattle to take that Alaska cruise. Book now at AlaskaAirlines.com/Reading. We'll be right back with Kimberly Vollmers.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The bases are loaded, and the 21 pit is heating up inside Wind River Resort and Casino with the Table Games Giants Giveaway. Check into your favorite table game with your River Club card for a chance to win San Francisco Giants swag and a pair of home game Giants tickets. Hot seats every Friday through September from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Hot seat winners every 15 minutes. Get all the details at windriver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio. And, we're back. Yes, after all this time, I popped positive for COVID. And
finally,
when they, I've been out kissing people and, you know, and hugging everybody. And so I went down to, cause my nose was running because I had a sinus condition like 3 months ago. And then I went down there and they said, oh, you have COVID. I went, no, I don't. And they said, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And they said, yes, you do. And I said, so what's that mean? Well, it means you're going to have to go home for 4 or 5 days until Saturday. And I went,
Yeah.
So Saturday I took the test again. I'm negative. I was afraid to take the test on Thursday because what if I was negative then? I'd have to come back to work. So anyway, I finally kind of feel like, I'm in the game now.
Yeah.
Everybody I know.
And I took the test every single day.
And Linda never got it. So I'm not sure I had it.
Well, and here's the thing.
And people were asking and telling me to take ivermectin. The only thing I could do was take that deworming paste we had for the horse. And I really didn't know how much to take, so I just licked a little bit.
Well, the reality is that everybody's been touched by this some way that they've had it, where they know somebody who's had it, or they've been married to somebody, or people who are married, sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. We had kids that traveled, and everybody in the family got it except for the son. So who knows why and how, and if we're walking around asymptomatic and don't know
and
if
I
we...
Don't know.
So
I don't know.
Anyway, so we've gone through it. We've gone through it. Anyway, Kimberly Vollmers is with us this morning.
Candidate for Reading City Council. Okay, let's get down to some meat and potatoes, Kimberly.
Yes.
All right. One of the things that's facing us is homelessness. For 13 years we've sat here, and for 10 of that we've heard how we're going to handle homelessness. Now, we are starting to take strides. However, what's your thoughts on homelessness and how to address this?
Recently, I have noticed that a lot of people who may be homeless here, they may not be technically residents here. And so I had a conversation recently with someone who talked to other people in other cities of how they're managing this issue. And establishing, first off, if they're a resident here, because you can not provide services and require someone to leave the area in a different manner, or they're in violation of what they're doing in a different level if they're not a resident here. And so there can be more streamline of how things are dealt with, because if we're tracking who they're encountering, and some of that is done. I think some of what is lacking is maybe staff to enforce the practices that they have. So the people that are being encountered with are police officers or firefighters or even businesses. If we all had something where they could be put into the system to know this is the problem, this is the location of the problem, and it's united with what we have to enforce it, the team that goes out and encounters them maybe multiple times before they'll accept services to get them off the street, it could be not just the two or the three, the team of three, or just the police or just the fire department. What if I am at a park and I see someone and I encounter them, and they're not threatening necessarily, but they're there on a continued basis, and if I can get on an app or call a number and make that report of description and time, and they know where the people are and how to encounter them in a more consistent basis. But there's not enough staffing to do that for the size of our city and the sprawling of where they are. So there needs to be a streamlined effect of what we already are doing.
Okay, let's go back into why you decided you threw your hat in the ring.
Yeah, so what I was sharing before is just the passion aspect and the root aspect of who I am is someone who's very aware of how the civics in our life touch our life. And mostly what kept me from doing it before is I'm a mother of four, and my oldest is 9. So really, relative to having 4 and the oldest being 9, that's a lot of children in between there in toddler ages. So I always told myself, when my children are older, this is something I would do.
Okay.
Because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I homeschool my kids, and that's a dedication that I've committed to. It's a commitment. And as well as doing this is a commitment. And I always ask myself, is this a commitment that I want to make at this time in my life? My answer was always no. I want to wait until my kids are older. Well, with all of the things that are happening and how much we've watched the arena change, I'll say, and public awareness has changed in the last few years because of COVID, I feel. And then I started recognizing and thinking, I can do this now. And a huge factor was my husband's job. My husband used to work out of town. He's worked out of town for 12 years, and him not being here Monday through Friday, of course, makes an impact on what I'm capable of doing if I were to step out and take a role like this. And recently his job changed. So now he works here in Reading for Mass Energy, which is a company that creates energy from cow poop.
Oh, yeah. We've had them on before. Yes. We love that company.
Yes.
It's too bad we can't send them to Washington, D.C. We would solve the energy crisis.
Right? One day. See, you know, what's funny is I had a dream that I was helping them with policy. So all of the things, like, who knows the things that I would learn working for the city, and it would branch out, because I think that companies like that are fastly growing, that choose Reading for their home, and they have locations all over the nation, and they're rapidly growing. They're going to be moving downtown, actually.
Fantastic.
Their office. And
they're not bringing the
they're not bringing the cows.
So I would like to interject here before we, in the last 4 minutes here before we take a break, regarding the business. And your husband's back, and you've had this dream about implementing policy. So what if there were like 3 top things that we want to discuss in the next half hour, and we've got the chat pack open, and people can call in at 605-4567. Let's talk about the 3 things, your pillars of what you're running on.
Right. I would say public safety. Everyone knows that that's an issue here, and we need to keep it, like, through law enforcement and public awareness, policy and ordinance. Public safety is top. And after that, I would say preservation of what we have here. To make sure that we grow, so it's like a 2.5 and a 3. To make sure that we grow at a good pace and preserve what we have, but not to block progress. And I know that that's not typical. You want to hear these, like, big punches of 1, 2, 3. But to me, it's all meshed together. Every single one of them touch one another.
What about there was a group of people, K2, McConnell Foundation, Turtle Bay, put an offer in on the property, 24 acres, down in...
By the Civic.
Redo the Civic, make it a world-class place, redo the rodeo grounds, all that kind of stuff. Where did you stand on that?
I'm glad that they paused, because they really need to make and execute a plan that is not done with haste, is what I would say. And I don't know that it would be most beneficial to the city to sell it or to let it go.
Do you think the city is able to make a project this big and have it come together?
Yeah, I do. I think partnering with nonprofits or partnering with developers, and they might have to recruit it. They might have to seek it out. They might have to go out throughout the nation and say, hey, we have this land. We have this potential. Do you want to invest in it? Because our city would benefit, and they maybe could benefit. If we are unable to do that locally, we still have – that is like a piece of gold. It is such a treasure that – it would have revenue come in. I have no doubt that it would be very successful. So to hand it over to someone else to maybe make profit, I think the city should hold it.
When you talk about...
Let me keep going on this.
Mm-hmm.
I have this is no offense to you or anybody that's running or that's in there now. I don't have a lot of confidence that a city council that changes every 4 or 5 years and has no experience in this
to develop a project
like this, as opposed to looking at a group of people who do these things, and you have your thumb on them, though.
Yeah.
That if they don't do it correctly,
as
then they're going to have to. Yeah. I mean, they do this.
Yeah.
And so it just is that our city council changes, and this is a 10-year project. And that was my concern on it, was that we'd have many changes, and who knows? Next group comes in and says, well, you know what, I'd rather do it this way. And there we, and then, you know, 15 years down the road, we haven't done anything on this. Do you think a city council will have the ability to select how it's going to happen, all the things that go along with it? Will there be would they be bringing in a consultant that runs it for them?
I believe that in their last meeting, that's what their pause was about, is to have a consultant speak to them and say, this is what it would look like. They do need the full scope. This is what I mean. They need to see from the beginning to the end and have that plan and before they execute anything. Because if it's not agreed upon that it's not going to be diverted or paused or detracted once it begins, then it serves no one. It needs to be the full picture from the get-go.
We're here with Kimberly Vollmers. We'll be back after these messages. Kimberly's running for city council. And
this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, Redding's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years.
Whoa.
Doug Tooley, a veteran-owned business. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley at 530-241-3474. To get some of the best deals, and there's so many of them. He's got so many great deals, so many ways to save money. There's just too many of them to even talk about now. It would take the rest of the show. That's B&T Satellite, a better-known business, 530-241-3474. We'll be right back with Kimberly Vollmers.
But you're moving so carefully.
You know what?
Let's
it's not...
dangerously.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our communities when minutes matter.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlotte's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlotte's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlotte's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlotte's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfect grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Welcome back and meet that cowboy. Cornerstone Community Bank brings you this segment. Hey guys, good morning on this Monday. It's 96.5 FM, 1460 AM on this Monday morning with Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. This is your talk radio and we're here with Kimberly Vollmers, but let's talk about the sponsor of this moment, Cornerstone Community Bank. A dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. Many branches here in the, well, three branches in the North State, I think going on four, Cornerstone Community Bank. So, Kimberly, before we took a break, we were discussing something that I think is really important. It's a one-liner, and you say, don't stand in the way of progress.
Yes. Yes.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah. I think that when we have things like the sale of the land at a potential for the city, I would just want to see the schematics of how we would benefit the most for the longest. So because my kids are here and because I love this area, I think that we don't want to have untapped things and we don't want to sabotage anything either. So I would want to see all possible working out of that property. And that's what I think that the intention of the people on that project have been trying to do is show the people and the public what are all of your options. And so until I had all of the information, I wouldn't believe that I could make a decision.
Okay. And that's what we talked about during the break. And just to make this, Kimberly is not against progress. It's just making sure that the rights of all the citizens in our land are very valuable land here is protected.
Right.
At the same time, being able to move forward. The city council has written a letter of opposition to the Wind River Casino. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a block of progress as well. So I would not be for blocking the casino at all. I think that it would be a possible thing that would be a beautiful place out on the side of the river where we would have access to the river there that we do not have now, among other things. So when you travel and you go places to visit and you want to stay somewhere, in my just guess of just a proposal of something being there, I'm stunned that other things haven't been placed there prior. But I know that the land was zoned for such a long time for agricultural things. And so that's why nothing has developed there in my entire life that I've lived here. And so I was a little bit surprised that it took so long for something like that to happen, or be proposed to happen. But I think that to stop it, we're delaying something that's inevitable. And it's not something that I would stand in the way of.
Okay. Let's discuss more. Like another topic that you would like to bring up that you would say that would be on your platform?
Well, we can talk about the Airbnb issue because I know we were talking about that before, and that's something that a lot of people maybe not really have understood, that it's a growing industry and it's going to impact this area if we don't get
A handle.
And there was a closed forum for the candidates, so a lot of residents might not know that, that some organizations can request a forum that is closed to the public, which I'm not a fan of. It's not my favorite thing. I wouldn't decline to participate, but I feel like every single time that the candidates gather to say anything on any topic, it should be publicly accessible. But that's their discretion and their ability. So there's a real estate association that invited all of the candidates to come. And so there's topics like the Airbnbs, because temporary housing is an issue. And we discussed and talked about how other people, so many people lost their homes in the car fire. And so it took out 1,000 homes of the area. And then we're not building as quick to replace what we lost, or as quick as a normal pacing. And then you enter the Airbnbs. So homes that would be rentals, because we are in deficit of adequate number of rentals here for to be affordable for people who maybe aren't in a home buying position but would want to rent a home, there's not enough. And so if those rentals become Airbnbs because people realize how much money they can make, that's something that even in the state, it's I don't know how they would regulate or change that, because you can make quadruple what your mortgage is by doing that.
Oh, yeah. If you're charging $275 a night.
There's incentive to do that.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. However, like you said, there's a shortage of rentals. There's no, you know, the ordinance doesn't say what the density is.
Right.
It doesn't say, is there a cap on how many you can have? A lot of cities say 1%. We're well over that 1%.
Well, the problem for a neighborhood, in what I'm experiencing or what we've heard from others that live close to VRBOs or have several around them, is that they, the homeowners or the rental, the management do not really regulate them. And so anybody can have a party, and by the time it's this ridiculous 1 hour for somebody to be able to know, to be notified and come to the property is not happening. Because if you are a manager that has 10 properties, managing 10 properties, and you get 10 calls on a 4th of July, how can you conceivably do 10 stops to tell people quit partying at 10 o'clock?
It's like even having something regulate to where if you have so many properties in the city limits, that you have to have a property management managing them. Because you're only one person. You can't make it out to every single thing. But if you had an employee meant to where they could all go out.
Well, the whole ordinance needs to be rewritten.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting to hear what you're saying about it, too. Kimberly, we have more police now than we've had, I think, in a long time, with some more we're hiring. We're getting ready to, some of them are characterized as park police, where they're on our law enforcement, and they're part of Reading Police, but they're out there doing the parks and the trails and all that. We have CERT teams where we put a mental health expert in with police that are in plain clothes and
yeah,
all
the neighborhood
this.
Unit.
But yet we're still having problems with the fact that vast majority of the people that they come in contact with have mental problems, either drugs and alcohol, or they should be someplace being helped, but they're out in the streets. Can Reading increase the amount of mental health facilities available, or find out, what's your thoughts on this? I mean,
we absolutely need to.
Because we can't handle all of what we have.
We don't have much for inpatient care here. So a lot of things are, it's up to the person who has the problem to be going for services. And that's one of the number one problems I see, that if you take someone to, because they're, on a stoop or at a business or somewhere where they don't belong, and they cannot stay there, and you move them to the jail where their violation, is being intoxicated in public, but really it goes down to their mental health is not great once they're even sobered in the jail. So they're not getting those services extended. But some of the things that we do have through different agencies here, like I was saying before, it's partially enforcement, but then if you don't have the the full staffing available to connect them. I think we really need to include the public more. So I would want to see maybe a program to where the public could be trained and participate in that. Because there are different places where churches get really involved and do work in the public to where they activate programs and help. I don't really see that happening here. We don't have a lot of things, but then there's nowhere to house people. So we need to seek out and try to facilitate through nonprofits and maybe shared budgeting so that there's inpatient care, so that people have long enough, even 30 days would be better than nothing, because they have to stay on medication long enough to where it's helping. You can't just medicate someone for 48 hours. It's some psychotic medications, or excuse me, antipsychotic medications, it takes 30 days, 14 to 30 days before it actually is helping their body and their mind. So we need an inpatient care here.
We're here with Kimberly Vollmers, and she's running for Reading City Council. We've been talking about the homelessness, law enforcement, the land by the river, short-term rentals. And we're going to take a quick break. If you have a question for Kimberly, give us a call at 530-605-4567. And we'll be right back after these messages. But this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst is the man to go to if you have a chip or a crack in your windshield up to 24 inches in length. Jeff can fix it. He does a great job. He fixed a crack on my windshield, about 8-inch crack, 14 years ago. And you still can't see it. That's how good he is. And for a free inspection and analysis, just bring it down to 3208 South Market Street or give him a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment. It's Jeff Wurst, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living.
One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Love these liners on these country songs, you know, popping a topper. Love it. Is that what you did this weekend? Welcome back to our morning show here. This is Carl and Linda Vaught. How are you on this Monday? It is the 12th of September. This portion of the show is brought to you by somebody who definitely loves to bring out the beauty of whatever he does with his art in estate granite. And or his cars or his friendships or his always makes the world a better place.
He's 100% in on everything he does.
That's right. And we're talking about Mike Hooper, who is the owner and founder of Estate Granite. You can give him a call at 241-STONE, estategranite.com.
Works by appointments only.
There you go.
You get a free consultation. Mike Huber, Estate Granite, great place. Hey, we're here with Kimberly Vollmers in our last segment, and Kimberly is running for Reading City Council, and there's like 10 people running for
this. There are.
Yeah, but you have name recognition now.
Right? They say no press is bad press.
Well, you haven't had any bad press that I can think of. Oh, well, maybe you have. You don't have to bring it up, though, but I never heard anything negative.
That's good.
So, Kimberly, you mentioned something in the beginning of our interview about how much the arena has changed. What is it that you think, or what are the things that you think that you can do? Because you grew up here, so you like the old school feeling, but things are changing. Downtown is completely.
Yeah, radically.
Like what? Like sleep in a year, boom, it all comes to fruition.
Yeah.
So, and the rezoning of areas, like, well, now we can't vote in two because we're one or vice versa.
Yeah.
What are the things that you feel like if you could, you know, bring back that maybe has gotten out of hand or vice versa when you talk about the arena changing, what you'd like to do?
The arena changing is just, I think, in the whole aesthetic and feel for everyone as a citizen of America. I don't think that it's only in Reading, but I think the consciousness of the voter is changing to where people got really disheartened in 2020. A lot of people were upset with the way that the election went, and some people maybe that voted a lot and believed in the system were disenchanted, but some people understand now that maybe national politics isn't what serves you best, but local politics. And that's what I mean by that. That arena has changed. People's consciousness of and awareness of their vote in their local government, of the people who regulate things that touch their lives every single day, is right here where you live. And so the progress that's happened, I feel like, in Reading has been at a really great pace. And we've been successful and been growing when lots of California is not being successful.
What made you decide to homeschool your children?
I feel like that's a privilege. And it's an honor for me to be able to do that, because I definitely never wanted to be a teacher. I would say my idea of teaching like a classroom of 25 kids is a nightmare. So it's not that. It's more so the time freedom. And, you know, my husband did travel since we've had kids. He's traveled all of that time. So if they were in school, we're locked to that controlled, like, schedule. I almost said system, but I mean schedule. And I think that a lot of the education system is made for one type of learner. And when I was in school, I was so bored so much of the time. And I thought, man, I wish I could learn more of this. I wish I could learn more of that. And I think once a child hits about fourth, fifth grade, we don't do it until high school where they can pick their subjects more so of their interests, and not even enough at high school. So I wanted to give them access to things that interest them and teach them based on what their interests are.
Well, hey, okay, here's some questions coming in. The city's roads and sidewalks are pitiful in many places. They just re-asphalted our street last year, I think. And and now they're tearing it up to put in sewer pipes.
Well, let's finish that question. We have a caller.
How do we know that?
Well, because I just told you. Well, let's just go to Jeremy. Go ahead.
I hope you haven't been waiting long.
No, we just called
you. Oh, okay. Got it.
Jeremy, do you have a question?
I do, yeah. Hi, Kimberly. The question I have is related to the homelessness issue. And I think, you know, the homelessness issue is largely related to drug abuse. And with the drugs, you were talking about treatment, and maybe we could treat the people and find a way to get them out of the situation they're in. But have you reviewed data, and do you know what the success rate is for those programs?
The success rate for programs that we've put people through.
Like the DRC program where they tried to work people through.
Yeah.
I don't know their statistics. No, I don't. But I think that working with them closely to find out their statistics, and then maybe advancing the aspects that are working by asking those people who have successfully utilized the program. But there's things like the mission where people have to want help. So I feel like I understand what the line that you're on is, that some people maybe aren't going to accept help and aren't going to finish and come out on the other end to where they can function without help. And that's why I think we need long-term inpatient care, which we're lacking. Is that good?
Yeah, that is where I'm going, is a significant portion of the people are exactly where they want to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, society is enabling drug use, legalizing drugs, and pushing it in popular culture. And I mean, honestly, I don't see any way out of it other than shipping them to Sacramento. It's like how Texas is dealing with the illegal invasion at the southern border.
Real quick, everyone. I had a caller that just said the success rate was 8-12%.
Yeah,
8-12. That's probably about right. Okay, Jeremy, thanks a lot. The only problem with shipping our problems to Sacramento is that they could load up 12 buses and ship them back.
They do ship them here. Even when people that are not from here and they have an issue and they end up in the hospital because of drug use and or mental health issues, they ship them to Santa Rosa, they ship them to Sacramento, they ship them to San Francisco, because that's where the long-term care is.
Oh, okay.
And when they're done with the 30 days, they put them on a bus and they send
them back.
They don't want them there either if they're not having a success rate to where they can live inside a facility.
Okay, we've got like 2.5 minutes left. Your turn.
Yeah.
Say anything you want.
So I know that Linda keeps on trying to tap into, why am I running? Why am I here? Why would I care? Why am I doing this? Right?
Yeah, where's the why? What's
and
the why?
So a huge thing for me is I feel like I feel like I am like a lot of people in the public where I don't feel represented.
Okay.
So I believe that I bring for the people a choice, not an echo. And so usually when you go to different things and you hear people who represent us, and they have your vote is what they have. They have your vote. And if I feel like they're not voting how I would vote and they're not the choices that I would make, who is going to become the choice that I would make? And instead of disconnecting and detaching myself from government and thinking that government is bad or government is a dirty word, I think that more participation for more people is going to elevate and keep our progress in a positive while we keep the things here that we love. So I think that if people believe that their voice is not represented, I'm giving them an option to be a choice without an echo.
I think that should be your slogan. I am a choice, not an echo.
Yeah, I absolutely am. And I wanted to tell you that I have a fundraiser, actually, at RAW. It's going to be at RAW that's on Hilltop. I don't know if you've been there. It's a gorgeous place that has sushi and great appetizers. And if you're not a sushi person, they have other food as well. But I'm going to teach a painting and as part of it. And it's from 2 to 4 o'clock on Saturday the 24th. And, yeah, it's going to be a great time.
So public is invited.
Yeah.
And we just want to say this to, you know, we appreciate you being on today, as well as all of the candidates are welcome on our morning show. We like to share with our listeners because we are your North State voice, your talk radio. And we say this to all the people that send us invitations and everything. If we can't, because in media, we can't come at any fundraisers, because if we come to one, we have to come to all. So, but we do appreciate you being on our morning show. And, again, when is your fundraiser?
Saturday, September 24th from 2 to 4 o'clock at RAW.
Okay.
Kimberly Vollmers, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much. And we're going to try and get everybody on and then kind of cycle back through again if we can between now and November.
Fun.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, we're going to break from the news. We come back at Shasta College and football coach and talking about the athletic programs out there.
KCNI, Pastor Reddick.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Following a somber procession through the streets of Edinburgh, Scotland, Queen Elizabeth II's casket has now arrived at St. Giles Cathedral. The public will now have an opportunity to pay its respects to the late monarch. Her son, King Charles, led the procession to the cathedral. Earlier in London, Charles addressed Parliament for the first time as king, telling lawmakers he can't help but feel the weight of history which surrounds us.
And which reminds us of the vital parliamentary traditions to which members of both houses dedicate yourselves with such personal commitment for the betterment of us all.
Charles pledging to follow his late mother's example of selfless duty. The White House says that President Biden will be attending next week's state funeral for the Queen at Westminster Abbey in London. A mighty struggle continues to rage in Ukraine.
We had an update this morning from the Ukrainian military saying that 20 villages had been liberated in the last 24 hours. We don't have details about their location, about their names, and I've got to say that it's hard to independently verify those claims. But again, this is part of this operation to retake territory in the northeast of the country, in the Kharkiv region.
That's a BBC's Hugo Bishega in Ukraine. Attorneys for former President Trump urging a federal judge to leave in place her order that bars the Justice Department from pursuing its criminal investigation of documents that had been seized by the FBI from the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 293 points, NASDAQ ahead 109, the S&P 41 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
ISIS says it has killed six U.S.-backed Syrian fighters in eastern Syria, saying that the killing was in retaliation for an ongoing operation inside a sprawling camp housing tens of thousands of family members of the terrorist group. an ISIS-affiliated news agency releasing a video showing the shooting of the six members of the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces. Court in Dubai says a British man suspected of masterminding a $1.7 billion tax scheme cannot be extradited to Denmark to face charges. The decision in the high-profile case grants the hedge fund trader Sanjay Shah a victory against Danish authorities who sought him for his role in one of the country's largest ever fraud cases. Today's court ruling, which judges delivered without explanation, can be appealed by prosecutors. However, the appeal must be filed within a period of 30 days. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. COVID-19 remains a major public health concern in the Philippines. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. extending his immediate predecessor's virus control policies.
Previous President Rodrigo Duterte placed the entire Philippines under a state of calamity in March 2020 because of the coronavirus. Now Marcos Jr.'s press secretary says the state of calamity, which was to expire on Monday, may be extended by around 3 months, primarily to allow emergency purchases and provide hazard allowances for healthcare workers. Masks will still have to be worn in crowded areas where people can't observe social distancing. The Philippines and Myanmar are the last two countries in Southeast Asia that still require the wearing of masks outdoors. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Wall Street off to a good start for the week. The Dow up 255 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here in the studios of KCNR. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, today, the 12th of November, Nathan's there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing there, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well.
As usual, you're running everything cool.
We didn't put you to the test, buddy. Do you have a what day of the...
Yeah, I do.
What day of the year or what day of the week or what's the national important day?
It is National Chocolate Milk Day.
Well, finally.
Who doesn't remember...
Finally.
Nestle's chocolate powdered milk with a little tin on the top, and you pop off the tin, and you put like a tablespoon in there and make your chocolate milk. Do they even have that anymore?
I don't even know if they do that. I know they have Nestle's. They have
thing.
That. Yeah, the chocolate syrup stuff they put in there.
That's not the
It's
whole,
not the same. Not only that, but you could pack your cheeks with it too. It looks like a little chipmunk.
I never did that, but I can only see. You know, did you gag swallowing the powder?
No, I never did.
Came
that.
Out your nose.
I never
I
did
bet.
That, but have I you? Did. I did feed it to my sister.
Have you ever done the cinnamon challenge?
Oh no!
The what?
The cinnamon challenge. You try and eat a whole spoonful of cinnamon.
Oh, you mean like literally out of like the cinnamon spice out of
yeah.
The,
so what happens?
Oh, nothing good.
No, I can imagine you sneak. Can you imagine? Okay. When your dog, when you're at Thanksgiving and the little condiments fall on the floor and the dog sniffs it, now you can only imagine what happens with the human because they are in a sneeze fest like nobody's business. And that's cinnamon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then, you know, I can't believe is how they had the thing where they were eating the dishwasher soap.
Oh, stop the little, it.
No, iPods.
The Tide Pod. They were eating
gross.
That. That's, you know, those that's are people going to be leading our country.
Yeah,
in
that's a whole
years.
Different, like, gross.
Okay.
Kind of
hey, look. What's the weather look like, huh?
Looks like we're going to have, thank you very much. Looks like we're going to have about 93 today, mostly sunny, mostly clear tonight with our overnight lows of 63. Tuesday calls for sunny with a high of 86. Tuesday night, 59. Wednesday, mostly sunny, 81. We have these beautiful clear skies, mostly clear, 59 Wednesday night. Thursday, sunny with a high of 85. Oh, my gosh. And Friday, 85. Weekend calls for 82. And Sunday, Looks like slight chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 82. There you go. And that's the forecast. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned with senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
A veteran-owned business. Hey, we're here with Shasta College. Peter Griggs is with us. Good
Hi,
morning, Peter.
Peter.
Head of all the marketing and outreach and all that. How are you doing?
Doing great.
I was so happy I got to be here today and see you.
I know. It's been a couple.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. You know, we share an alma mater from high school.
We do.
We talked about,
another
got a hold of
another Rio Americano
guy.
Indeed.
And Chuck Kebhart. I mean, yep. He was a teacher of ours, and oh my goodness.
Oh, Chuck was amazing.
Yep.
He was great. Yeah, that public speaking class, honestly, when you come in as a freshman, really changes and sets the tone for your high school experience.
Well, and you know how important it is with great teachers, and you always put together the most incredible. I always learn so much, and so do our listeners. With the amazing talent that's at Shasta College, and you put that whole thing together every time. So you do all of their advertising and reaching out to, you know, the community on all levels about what you can experience and what you can enjoy with our very own community college here in Shasta County.
Well, we so appreciate the opportunity to come out and share so many of the different programs that we have at the college with your listening audience. In fact, this morning, one of my favorites is, of course, our athletics program. We're joined by Brian Hamilton, who is our head football coach with the Shasta College Knights. And just always enjoy having Brian out, having the athletic department out, and all the departments to be able to share what it is that we bring to the community. And Brian's program is indeed a special program. It's not just football. We were talking about that right before we came on the air. So I'll let him take it from there.
Okay. Brian.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning.
To be here again.
Good morning.
It's been like a year and a half.
It's Byron. Yeah. It's Byron.
No, it's Brian.
It's Brian?
Yeah.
Is it?
But
oh,
they put a
Brian.
Y in there.
Well, my mom did.
B-R-Y.
Bry-on.
Bry-on.
Because she go, Bry-on.
Did she say your, why?
Wait, yeah, well, they had a friend. No, this goes back. My father had a friend named Byron. They wanted to name me Byron, but then they argued about it. She liked Brian better, so they just switched a couple letters around. But I've been called Byron a lot, so when I go to restaurants, I sign in B-R-Y-A-N so that they aren't yelling for Byron and I'm not paying attention.
Okay.
Now what's your middle name?
I can't tell you that.
Okay. Because
only my wife knows
I
that.
I can hear your
it's
mom.
Esther. It's Esther.
No,
Brian Esther.
No,
Brian
no,
Esther?
No.
You come in here right now. Okay. Yeah, tell us how you got to where you are. I mean, a football coach, head football coach.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it's a blessing. I mean, I get to do what I love for a living and get the relationships and the things we do.
Yeah.
But I'm a local guy. You know, we moved up here when I was 7 years old and I attended, Enterprise High School. Started playing football for the Reading Colts, a youth program when I was 9. And, a friend of mine, Robert Lowe, local guy, family, you know, well established here in town. Invited me out to play, so I played. Didn't like it wanted to quit the first couple of weeks because it was hot and you got hurt and people yelled at you. And, you know, I was a 9 year old that didn't want to do that.
Right.
And my dad said, no, you said you were going to play, so, we're at least going to finish the season.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we did. We finished the season. After the season was over, I loved it and thought, you know, was okay at it. Wasn't great, but I was okay at it. And there we go. So I played high school football at Enterprise High School. I'm in 1987. That's going back a little bit. Graduate at Enterprise High School. And I was fortunate enough to get to go down and play, at the NCAA level at Long Beach State University. I got to play for legendary coach George Allen. He was our head coach. So that was a lot of fun.
George, not the George Allen.
Of course, yes.
George Allen. Washington Redskins.
Yes, George.
Oh.
Yeah, he was our head coach when I was in college. So I had a chance to play for him and
learn some skills, baby.
Yeah, more, which we'll probably talk about today. More off-field stuff than on-field stuff.
It's all in. It's all in the attitude, the gratitude, and the mental.
No, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of good athletes out there, but it's you got to mirror that up with some other things.
Was that a beautiful thing to talk about today?
Was George Allen the? He coached at the professional level, so this was. After he was...
Yeah, he was with the Rams and Bears and obviously
and
famous
then,
at the Washington Redskins.
Right, and then he came to the college or university there. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest takeaway? I mean, this guy had been at the... I mean, won a Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, he coached in the Super Bowl. I don't think they won. He won it as an assistant, I believe.
Okay.
But, well, I think the biggest difference was prior to that we had some really good coaches as well. He's not the one that first signed me. Prior to that, we you know, we'd go to a meeting, a player meeting, and we were able to wear our sweats, and the coaches were able to kind of dress casual and have facial hair and all that kind of stuff, which nobody thought anything of. And I just remember the first meeting with George Allen, man, it was quiet in there, and he walked in a suit, and everybody's hats were off, and I looked up there, and some of the guys that were coaching me that had beards and goatees were freshly shaven. I thought, what's going on around here? And Coach Allen walked in, and it's just from their time, it was detail-oriented, it was relationship-oriented, it was accountability-oriented, it was preparation-oriented, and the results, the results weren't talked about, the process was talked about. And so the process every day was, you know, you had to show up and do your job, and you had to do it with great enthusiasm, and, you know.
Do the work.
And you had to have some infectious energy, and you just couldn't be just a guy sitting around and worried about yourself. You had to worry about your brother. And so that was the biggest difference. And so I learned that from him and from the guys that, you know, that coached with him and the guys I was fortunate enough to play with. I got to play with some really good players, guys that, you know, ended up being Hall of Fame guys in the NFL and stuff. And we just worked our tails off, and we did it for a common cause. And so that was the biggest difference, was the off-field stuff. The on-field stuff, the X's and O's, I mean, that kind of stuff, the offense, defense, that's important. But I learned there that the off-field stuff was probably more important. The process was a little bit more important than the focusing on the outcome.
It's different than professional, you know, when you're in college. I mean, you're trying to impart a lifestyle of responsibility, and like you said, the off-field stuff is really important. You're getting kids that are 17, 18 years old, and you have a huge impact on these guys.
Yeah, and that's especially at the community college level, which I'm so blessed to be a part of, especially in my hometown.
Yeah.
You know, we get guys on our team that drive 3 miles and to get to practice, and we've got guys that have come 3,000 miles to be at practice. You know, it's a conglomerate of different people from all over the different, you know, walks of life.
Yeah.
And we got to come together in a real short time. We have to put it together and make a well-oiled machine. And so, yeah, you're playing psychologist half the time. You're meeting needs that are not football based a lot of the time. But I think that's the challenge, and that's also what keeps it fresh every year. If it was just calling the same plays or just doing the same thing all the time, I think, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years now. I'm 54 mm-hmm. this year. I started my first head coaching job. I was 23. So, you know, if it was just calling plays and things, I think I would probably be doing something else.
Okay.
We're here with Brian Hamilton, the Shasta College head football coach. This is Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM. This is your talk radio. Going to take a break. More with Brian when we get back. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store, and you're going to love it. We'll be right back after these messages.
I get no doubt.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Get ready to hit the trails running with more epic adventure. Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our $77,000 fall into 4x4 swipe to win promotions. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly free play drawings Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Drawings every half hour. Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings August 27th or September 24th, where one winner will win a brand new Can-Am Outlander or Maverick. For all the details, visit WindRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey y'all, are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're gonna wanna stop over at Black Bear Diner where they've just introduced four new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet, three eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich, crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time, Black Bear Diner.
All right, best things happen at the break.
Back.
You know.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. We were just talking about the Oregon-Georgia game a couple of weeks ago.
Ted, Mike, if you're listening.
Hey, Ted. Yeah, Lighty. And got me into a bet. And not only did they not cover the 16 points, they weren't even close. And, I mean, Georgia did. They had their fourth string in their playing in the last quarter.
Well.
Anyway, but that's enough of that. Okay, hey, we are here with Brian Hamilton, Shasta College head football coach. And he's a local guy. Been here, you know, moved up here when he was seven, went down to Long Beach, played in the big leagues down there.
Married his high school sweetheart. I love the story.
Came back up here just for a year or two, and then because she wanted to be near home. And then now he's been here for a long time. Yeah. He's got kids, grandkids. They're all around here.
Yeah.
So probably Brian's not going to be leaving.
You have a rich life.
Okay, now, y'all are 1-1.
Yes, right, that's right.
Now. Yeah. Now, tell us about the football program there. What division are y'all in? Because you've changed things.
Yeah, community college level in California is an incredible, system. We've got over, I think this year we've got 69 teams at play. And they've divided that into a northern and a southern. We're in the northern, obviously, California region. And then they've divided that region into the national and the American division. National being programs that are, it would be like if we were equating it to the four-year level FBS and FCS. So the national is the FBS. It's the upper level. We can play for a state title. We can play for a national title and all those things. And then the American division, although it being good football, it's a little less, not as many players, not as many coaches. I mean, it's a step down.
Is it based on how big the college is?
No, not really. It's based on success.
Oh, okay.
And how you've done as a program. So years ago, we were in the American division, and then we started, building where we were winning championships there and winning that division. So they moved us up. And then our first year back up at this level, 2019, was my first year as a head coach, and we ended up having a good year and going to a bowl game and losing in overtime to San Francisco, is one of the best teams in the country. That was a tough loss, but played them very well, went to overtime. And then the COVID year, we won the championship. And then last year we struggled a little bit, 4-6. So now we're back at it, and we're 1-1.
Okay. Now, so the competition's gotten harder.
Yeah.
And recruiting for a community college, a junior college. How tough is that?
It is tough because one is there's a lot of options for people to go play. Number two is You're recruiting them not just to play football. You're recruiting them to a community. So they have to, you know, like Redding, you have to bring them into Northern, some of them not from California, and they think everything is in Malibu. You know, talk about California, and they're going to Malibu, and they show up in Shasta County, and it's 178 out. So, you know, so,
with their surfboard.
But here's the thing, I mean, recruiting, and I think this goes, you know, I've got a lot of friends that coach at the next level, played at that level. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a relationship business. And so you establish a relationship with a young man and a family early, and they come to play for our coach. They want the program to be, you have to have a successful program and offer something that's attractive mm-hmm. to them. But at the end of the day, they're going to come play for somebody who they feel like cares about them, has their best interest in mind, and has a plan for them individually and plan for the team that will allow them to achieve what they want to achieve, both academically, socially, and athletically.
Now, do you have relationships with four-year colleges and universities?
Yes.
So that, you know, so maybe a four-year college says or university says, hey, you know, this is a good guy, but he's not ready, you know, here. Can you help him?
For sure. And I think a lot of, you know, throughout California, that's happens a lot. And most people look at it and they think, well, how many people did you send to University of Oregon? We were talking about them earlier. How many people did you send to this, you know, to Alabama? Well, those kids are usually tagged when they're sophomore in high school. Literally those guys. We are going to get guys who academically maybe were challenged. Maybe they were late developers. Maybe they were at a small school or just not in a metropolitan area that colleges can get to see them. There's a myriad of reasons why we get young men, but we get young men that can play at the four-year level. I have a roster right now. I feel like that we probably have four or five guys that can play at the FCS or FBS level, and then we've got a lot of guys that play Division II, which Division II is a great football level.
Yeah, I mean, Division II is. They pull a lot of draft picks come out of there.
And I don't look at. I mean, not to, you know, you're absolutely right, but not to counter that. But I don't look at, you know, being a good football school is how many guys are put in the pro. That's elite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at how many guys get to play, experience it like I did, get to experience. I don't care what level, NAIA all the way through Division I. Get to actually learn some life skills, get to meet some people, get to experience athletics and academics in a university or a community college. I mean, there's so many things. I know we look at the final thing and saying, okay, you know, well, how many guys make the pros there? Well, that's a very limited amount. I don't even really focus on that.
Yeah, that's like saying how many people are going to sing and then become a star.
But what I was saying is that some people will look at Division II they have some great players.
Absolutely.
Coming out of there.
Even NAIA, you know, the lowest NAIA, level. That's great. I mean, not lowest level, right. But different NCAA. I mean, there's some great football there. We actually went up this year and played for the first time. We played in a scrimmage, but we played Southern Oregon University. So a community college actually competed against the four-year university this year. And it was kind of eye-opening for our guys that we competed well. We held our own and stuff like that. But, you know, oh, well, NAIA school, whatever. And they show up and all of a sudden, man, these guys are pretty good. Like, that's some pretty good guys here at Southern Oregon University, you know. So it's, you know, there's good football everywhere. And if you're blessed enough to play a snap of college football, you're in the top 10%. If you're blessed enough to go on then play at 4-year level, you're in the top 5%. If you're blessed enough to play at the elite, you know, Power 5 level, mm-hmm. you're in the less than 1%.
I would like to ask a quick question before we take a break because, you know, there's so much that's reeling through my mind, and we're here again with our Shasta College head football coach, Brian Hamilton. Brian, when you have these young students that come in, what would you say when you think about, okay, here's my new roster for the year? What are the key things that you help to motivate? Like, say somebody just sleeps in, they're lazy, they somehow just can't get it together.
Yeah.
And you are the person outside of the family that's the, oh, you're fabulous, everything you do is special, and you're like, what are you talking about? You can't even, how do you motivate that kid?
Yeah, and everybody's a little bit different. Some kids need a, you know, boot in the butt, and the other ones need an arm around them. They all need an arm around them. But, I mean, you know, everybody's psychology is a little different. But at the end of the day, you have to be coachable. You have to be dependable. You have to have accountability. And you have to understand that the spotlight's just not on you. And it's on all of us. It's us. It's not just you. And we have to, you know, and we get people from, we get them August 1st, and we got to play the first week of September. So you got 30 days to mold and shape. And, you know, you get your parents. I'm a parent. I mean, it takes us 18 years. I'm trying to do it in 30 days. So sometimes you're very successful at it, and other times it takes a little bit longer. But what can't change is your standards. What can't change is the focus. What can't change is what your what you demand in your program. Because if those things vary,
right,
you know, all the time, if it's kind of wishy-washy, mm-hmm, and you're not consistent in those things, kind of like parenting, then all of a sudden you've just got people all over the place and you don't have structure. So,
well, you gave a great example with Coach Allen.
Yes.
Like, he came in and it was like a done deal. This is the way it is. We're going to do it this way. Here's my success. So I just always wonder like that, because you're now, these kids are, like Carl said, 17, 18. They're still like just, you know, growing. Their bones are growing. They're hormonal. They're all of these things. And how do you establish not authority, because you're working with them, you know, the suppleness of working with them, of training them to want to be a better person, a better player, a better all-around person.
I think structure, discipline, and grace. Those
grace
are three things.
I like that. Okay.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And we're here with Shasta College and Brian Hamilton, who's the head football coach there. When we come back, we're going to talk about his goals for his student-athletes, but also what kind of season we're going to have, Coach. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. With everything that's been going on for the last couple of years, how is your retirement plan and 401 look? Well, why don't you give Judy Maxwell a call at 530-221-0441 for a free review and evaluation.
I know how mine looks. Spent.
Well, I invested all my money in gas and oil for my truck, and hay for the horse. Maxwell Insurance and Financial, Judy will put you on the right track. She's a great person. She treats all of her customers like friends. We have insurance with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back. Nobody's gonna tell me I can't. No, I'll be lounging on the couch just chilling in my Snuggie. Quit the MTV so they can teach me how to Dougie.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Free Fire. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue, the only place I've ever had my hair cut in Reading. It's a veteran-owned business. They give great haircuts. Never had a bad haircut there. They work by appointments only. You can give them a call at 530-244-9478. It's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. You should have all your players go down there and get a haircut.
I will do that. All at once.
All at once. It's by appointments only, so you just cycle them through for a whole day.
Yeah.
We're here with Brian Hamilton, who's a Shasta College head football coach, and it's been really interesting because Brian is a hometown kid that left, went to play in the big leagues there at Long Beach, and then came back and thought it was just going to be a short period of time because his wife, his high school sweetheart, whom he married, said, I'd like to go back home where my parents are. And that was, I'm not going to say exactly how long it was, but now he's got grandkids here.
A grandchild. A granddaughter.
A granddaughter. Ah. We were talking about, coaching and how you reach out to these young men. How do you, because you're recruiting all the time, how do you do that? I mean, I can understand around town and all this because they know who you are and all this, but how many players do you have that are from out of this area?
Our roster right now is about 97 players. And I would say from out of the Shasta County region, we probably have 60 on the roster. Out of California, probably, I'm just guessing, probably 35 to 40 that are not from California.
Part of that 60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So half of that 60 are not even from California.
Yeah, if you come out and watch us play, and I hope you all do, 6 o'clock Saturday night, Hall of Fame game against DVC, be a great game, 6 o'clock. It's cheap too, $5 for adults, free for kids. So anyways, I'm promoting there.
That's great.
Come out and see us. We have great fans and stuff. But anyway, we've really tried to focus our recruiting on the Pacific Northwest. We've got quite a few athletes from Oregon. And one of the reasons is they love, it's kind of like Oregon here. It's pretty close to home. And number two is they don't have community college or junior college football in Oregon. So those kids that don't get signed have to come play somewhere or they want to. And so it's an opportunity for them here. But
they don't have community college football?
No, there's only two nationally. So there's the National Junior College Football Association and then there's 3CAA, California Community College Athletic Association. So those are the only two nationally. We have, like I said, close to 70 programs in California. Then throughout the entire nation, there's another roughly 70. So, and they're spread out Kansas, Texas, all over the place. So, if you come to California, it's pretty populous as far as programs. You know, the furthest we're going to play is in 2 weeks, we're going to go down to Visalia and play. That's the furthest south we're going to go. So, it's a 6-hour bus ride and stuff. But if you play in Kansas, and you might have a game in Texas. So, it's just a different deal. Mm-hmm. You know, still, all of it's still junior college / community college football, same level, but it's just the two organizations.
For kids you recruit from out of state,
mm-hmm.
Now, being in for the Pacific Northwest, that makes sense. So it's not a huge change to them. But what are your biggest challenges when you're taking kids from, I'm sure you get inner city kids.
Yeah, we have a about diverse
group. I don't mean that in a bad sense.
No, it's awesome.
But they're raised in they're raised inside a city, and here they come to Redding.
Yeah, it's awesome though. That's it. Yeah. I mean, we do have players from Florida and Texas. We have several players from Florida, and a lot of the players, not a lot of the players, several players that I've coached in the past, they've never been out of their home, like, you know, 5 mile circle until they come to Redding, California. We took a trip a couple years ago. Our first game was down at West Hills, down in Kalinga.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this isn't California. Like, it's Kalinga. So the next week, our athletic director, Mike Mari, allowed us to stay the night in San Francisco because we were playing Santa Rosa. And then I got to, you know, take the kids down to the wharf and actually see some beautiful things. And that's some of them, honestly, this is going to be kind of foreign to us, but it's the first time they'd seen the ocean.
Right.
So, I mean, it's we're recruiting young men to come to Shasta College, not just for football, but for the community, for the campus, for the programs. And then when we get them on campus, we have to understand that, I don't know, it's been a long time since I got in the car and drove away to move away from home, but these guys are leaving home for the first time. They're embarking on an academic, different academics.
Which can be gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's college football. It's not high school football. It's not like, hey, chill, we'll come to an
right.
hour and a half.
No, right.
I mean, we're in the weight room. We're in study hall. We're in meetings. We're at practice. And we repeat. And last week it was so hot, we were doing this at 5 in the morning.
Right.
You know, 5 in
right.
the morning. So,
you got to do what you got to do.
And so I have great respect for our
right.
guys. And we do
mm-hmm.
get them in from different places. They played at different high schools where maybe they were allowed to do certain things we don't allow. Or maybe they ran at different offenses and defenses. And so they're trying to learn all this stuff. And it's just piling up on them. And that's what I love about it, man. They come out like this last week. We're on the road down in Stockton. We got these guys that have been together for a month. I mean, we jump out to a 17-point lead, and then all of a sudden we're down 23-20,
what?
And it's looking bleak, and and all of a sudden they rally up together, and they're cheering each other on, and they're playing through injuries and playing through stuff, and it's just inspiring. You know,
lifetime memories.
Well, it's inspiring.
Yeah, and what keeps you, I'm sure, because, you know, you walk in, you've got this incredible energy. You know, you've got a leader type of, you know, I could see why you're infectious, and people would probably, just from meeting you,
want
to know about you, be under your tutelage or your coaching, just because you've got this, your dynamic. What do you do in order to keep yourself motivated, in shape? You're super healthy, you can tell. What are the things that you do? And do you share that with your listeners, or is that a private thing, or am I allowed to ask?
No, you're allowed to ask. I think, I was talking to my wife the other day, you know, I've hired these young guys to be coordinators this year, and I've done it for a couple of reasons. One is they're great coaches, and they played under me, and I trust them, and they're awesome. It's awesome to see young guys working through the ranks, you know, and stuff. But I just don't have that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being completely honest. I just don't have that energy to do all of the things I did when I was 30 and mm-hmm. still be a good husband and a father and grandfather and all these things, right? But me personally, I've always boiled down a couple things. One is family, and it's going to sound cliche, but it's just the way I live my life. It's family, it's faith, and it's football. And if I keep those things, those priorities right, I can get up in the morning, you know, be exhausted or whatever, and say, you are such a blessed man to be able to be involved with so many great people, have so many people around you in your hometown, you know, see progress in guys that maybe didn't have a future academically or something and become part of our family. And I get to do that. And then they send me a check at the end of the month and my family gets to eat. And we get, you know, I think it would be very selfish for me to, give it everything I have or not to be infectiously enthusiastic about the opportunities that we have every day to impact the community and our student athletes.
Yeah, because we were talking about that earlier with, Kimberly, who was here, is running for city council, about how your actions as when you leave the house, just from the moment that you leave the house, in your psychological being, are you being a good neighbor? Are you being a family, like you said, family person, neighbor, community person? Are you being kind to strangers? So you're teaching maybe people who don't really know that, or maybe came from a different kind of, you know, family, how the family operates. They get this opportunity through you or with you, along with your team, your coaches that you've assembled, to be able to go out and be a better person. That sounds corny too, in our world.
Well, and I think you...
Conscientious.
You have to model that, too, right? I mean, because these young men are looking for people to say, okay, what does it look like? And they see a lot of stuff on their phones and social media now that, you know, it's there's some good things. We were talking earlier, but, you know, Peter and I about the phone, and there's some good things there. But I think it really has isolated us and as a culture, and also has allowed people to influence who we are that never would have had that influence before, and they're doing it for shock value. And so, you know, it's as a head coach, I feel like I have a responsibility to speak life and to speak discipline and to speak and keep doing that because be consistent in it. And not wavering, even though you have to have grace, because I just don't know, there's not a lot of fountains of that anymore in our society. And I just feel like that's our role, you know?
When they show up that first day, and you start your two-a-days, or I guess you don't
can't do two-a-days anymore.
Okay.
It's illegal. But we can do long one-a-days.
You can't do two-a-days?
No.
Used to do two-a-days.
Yeah, there's all kinds of rules to keep people safe now, I guess.
Yep.
And
then
okay.
we weren't allowed to be in an organized program, but all of us would show up mm-hmm. during the summer, and the coaches would be parked up on the hill.
Yeah.
They never said anything to us, but they were watching the whole time. Anyway, so when they show up that first day, and you realize that some of them probably haven't worked as hard as they should have,
mm-hmm.
Are you ever surprised by that, or is that just something that comes with it?
Man, I don't know. Every time a team shows up, you're surprised, and you're kind of like not surprised, I would say, but oh, someone supersedes your expectations, and others don't.
And others don't. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, you know
what? When I saw his films,
what
was this? Was this edited?
Yeah, when you're seeing, you know, you aren't seeing what they, you're seeing a highlight film, you know,
yeah.
you're seeing the studio shots, not how they wake up.
Yeah. I think that studio shot's
airbrushed
a little bit there.
Well, what you don't get to know, you could ask, but what you don't get to know until you get them in front of you and stuff, how do they respond to hard coaching? How do they respond to being held accountable? Those things you don't know until you get them in. Some people are like, oh man, this kid has got it made. And others like, we have to, you know, there's a long way to go with this young man. But I think in my earlier career, I would just at times, and this is just the honest truth, I would just dismiss that player. Like, he's not going to make it. We got to move on. We're going quick. I'm much slower now to do that. I think, not that you can allow, you know, tolerate certain things. You can't tolerate certain things because they're, you know, I always use the analogy. If we have a clear glass of a big jug of water and it's crystal clear, we'd all take it, you know, pour would be fine. But how much crap water do I got to drop in it to where you won't drink it? One drop. I mean, I'm not drinking one drop of toilet water in there. I mean, it becomes poisoned. And I talked to my team about that. One person can spoil the whole thing and make something very pristine, dirty. But that being said, I'm much more slow to remove people nowadays, just because I just feel like once I release from the team or tell them they can no longer be part of our family, I no longer have the ability to make a positive impact on them. And they probably are in that position because a lot of people have given up on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Marine Corps, when we were training our young officers, we had a 10-10-80. The top 10%, they didn't need a lot of help. I mean, they were driven. And then you had your bottom 10%, and no matter how much work you put in them, they weren't going to change too much. I mean, they were still good officers, but they were just not driven. At the 80% is where you can make the biggest.
Amen. That's good.
You make the biggest changes. Because they're coachable. They're, you know, they want to learn. They just maybe hadn't reached that point yet.
Yeah.
They don't know it yet.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Institute, plus the highest grades from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Only at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We'll be right back.
Go on, roll your shoulders. Do the slip and slide. This next part's my favorite part of this time to shine. Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with...
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Gosh, all the things that are going on. Let me see. Paisano Days is going to be Friday, September 16th, and Saturday, September 17th at the South City Park. On Friday, all-you-can-eat spaghetti with meat sauce, $12 for adults, $5 for children under 12. And then the start of the bocce ball tournament. Bocce. And, yes. And then on Saturday, the tournament continues and lots of food. Meatballs, pasta bowls and meatballs, Italian sausage sandwiches, meatball sandwiches, cannoli and ice creams. A good place for your guys to train out there. We're with,
And it is currently 75 degrees. Looks like it's going to be 93 with the overnight lows of 63 today.
We're with Brian Hamilton, who's the Shasta College head football coach. Tell us about your team.
Oh, we got a good group of guys. You know, we got about 95 guys on the roster, and we are currently 1-1. We played Reedley College down from the Fresno area week one here at home, and that was a good game. We had the lead late in the third and ended up getting beat in the fourth quarter. They're a good football team. They're ranked in the top 20. And then we traveled down to Delta this week and on the road, and it was in a wild game. We were up 17-0 after one and down 23-20 in the second, and then tied at halftime, and then came out in the second half, took care of business. But we've got a good team. We've got a couple of guys on the team that I, you know, Anthony Slayton is an all-conference linebacker that last year versus Sequoias, week 11, because we actually had pushed back 1 week because of the fires. But week 11 actually tore his ACL, blew his knee out, and didn't think there's a chance in heck that he was going to be able to get back on the field for us this year. Mm-hmm. Thought maybe he's going to have to take a medical redshirt. And he busted his hump and rehabbed and did everything we asked him to do. And he's out there starting and playing well. So he's from the coast. So he's, you know, fairly local. Got a young man playing quarterback for us out of Salt Lake City, Gabe Curtis, who, you know, took a year off after high school to go on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Did, you know, serve people and did awesome stuff there. And then is up here now playing football and just a fun guy to watch. He just had a heck of a football game. Got a big offensive line. Got some good local guys on the D-line. Our top receiver right now is a kid out of Foothill High School, Tyler Carey. In two games, he's got 3 touchdowns and over almost 200 yards receiving. So we've got a good football team. We're young in some spots, but you're always young in spots in community college. Our schedule is very, very difficult. It's probably, I've been here, I coach at Shasta College from 14 through, 96 through 90, or 2002. And then I went and did a high school head job and then came back in 14, I believe. And this is probably our toughest schedule, I think, overall. Wow. Looking at that. Everybody we play is good. Everybody we play has a chance to win, and everybody we play, we have a chance to win. So every kind of NFL schedule where, you know, every game probably going to come down to, you know, yeah, last.
That's the 49ers.
Yeah. You gotta play four quarters. Yeah. That's for sure.
Hey, do you ever look at girls?
What do you mean? Well, do I look at girls?
I don't mean.
I mean, my wife's listening to this interview.
Oh, well, no.
Slow down, Carl.
No, what I'm talking about.
You know. No, I never do, Carl.
Okay. Well, I know that. But God, you see more and more about.
I think I'm going to leave
girls.
The room.
Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. You're seeing more and more things like girls wanting to play football.
Yeah.
Is this more of a. I mean, they're not on the line or anything like that, and they're kickers or anything. I mean,
yeah,
and because they are girls, they get all this attention, but I haven't seen any of them at any college.
Well, normally, first of all, I have a daughter, plays volleyball at Shasta College, loving her experience, doing awesome. So I'm 100% females should be able to do,
yeah,
you know, gender. I don't care if they can play, but historically and kind of just way the nature of the game for football is, it's males mostly.
Yeah.
There have been, I know Shasta High School had a female kicker, did really well a few years ago. There have been some in NCAA, I think a handful.
Okay.
We haven't had any, at least as far as I know, actually make a roster. But, you know, I would love to see, like every other sport, I'd love to see them have their own league, their own stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, cause yeah. I know, like my daughter, she's still mad cause of COVID took away her, powder puff game. She was looking forward to that. You know, she grew up on the sidelines of me being a high school head coach and she just couldn't wait till powder puff. One game. I mean, she got one game and she was gonna, you know, and then COVID took that away. So, but no, the answer to your question is no, we haven't had it at Shasta College, but definitely if you can suit up and play, and you can do it, then we welcome you.
Yeah. The, student athlete, student comes first. And how does that fall in?
Well, and that's very true. Student comes first, but sometimes for some people, and I was one of these people, athletics is the gas that drives the car. Like, if it wasn't for athletics, if it wasn't for something to get up to and look forward to, I personally, no, I'm just full disclosure. When I got up in the morning, I'm living in, you know, Huntington Beach, driving PCH, seeing the ocean. I wasn't stoked about anatomy physiology class. Like, I didn't say, oh man, yeah, I gotta get to class because I can't wait to professor or whatever gonna teach me about, you know, this system. But I was that way about football. I could get there and, you know, I was fired up about it. I better make it there, and then if I'm gonna be on a football team and keep my scholarship and be able to do what I love to do, I gotta go to class. And then what happened was is that gas fueled, you know, the vehicle of transition to me going, hey, this is kind of fun becoming educated. This is kind of fun learning, you know, directing towards a career now. And so then if you'd have told me in high school I was going to be a college prep biology teacher, I'd have said you're crazy. I mean, I got good grades and all, but that's the furthest thing from my mind was I was going to be a science teacher, you know? But once I got into the profession, once I got into my upper level courses and stuff, it just changed me. And football, I don't think without football, You know, I would have done that.
Well, I've seen that when there was, this is what the big impact on COVID was. A lot of kids that were driven because of music or athletics and having it all cut off like that had really affected their grades.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, so, you're going to need a motivator and something to get you out of bed in the morning. You got to be passionate about what you're doing.
Okay, you get 2 minutes.
Yeah. I get 2 minutes?
You have your 2 minutes right
now. Oh, awesome. Well, first of all, I want to say this is a great community for college or community college football. And they support Shasta College in a lot of areas. And I happen to be involved with athletics. And our games on Saturday night are special. You know, not putting anybody else down, but we just played a game on the road where there was literally probably 50 people in the stands. And, you know, I feel sorry for those kids that go out there and bust their tails and half the parents there and nobody else. You come to Memorial Stadium on a Friday or Saturday night, 6 p.m. It's beautiful out there. We've got an old stadium, but I love it because it doesn't have a track around it. The fans are 10 feet from me. They can call me names, throw things at me. You know, they're right there. The fan experience is right there. It's a great community for football. But I also think that this community has embraced our players, different, the diversity we bring in, different people in our city, all over the place, from literally farms to middle, you know, downtown Detroit. This community has embraced our guys. And a lot of our guys will, not a lot, several, many, you know, of our guys will actually make this home after their careers. They'll come back. And so, I feel really blessed. Like I said at the very beginning of the interview, I didn't plan on being, I had visions of going, traveling around, doing all those things, and coaching. And I look back on it now as I, in the last, you know, enter the last phase of my career and, feel like very blessed to be a part of this community, Shasta College. It's a special place. And, you know, every game we go out there and we do our best to put a good product on the field and do those things. I used to focus on just end results, wins, losses. And the wins, losses to me now are a lot of different columns. Life wins and losses are just as important to me.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah. And this Saturday?
This Saturday, Hall of Fame game, DVC, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. out there. It's cost $5 to watch the game.
Yeah, and if you're sneaky, you can get in free in the back.
Just come. Peter.